Hello there, and welcome to episode 62 of Greg Crew May We Watch Again, the unofficial watch-along podcast for the CW sci-fi, The 100. We have just watched the 7th episode of season 5, Acceptable Losses. And this episode originally aired on the 19th of June 2018 and was watched by 0.83 million viewers.
Whoa.
Owen, it's been 5 months to the day.
To the day.
Did we plan this? 24th of October.
We did not.
We did not plan this.
No, yeah.
It's
crazy.
It's been too long.
Yeah. What's the show again? Who's everyone of call again?
What do we talk about in this podcast?
How does it work?
Yeah.
Do I talk into the mic or do I talk to you?
Where do I look? Do I look at the camera? Do I look at you? I never know.
We forgot.
Yeah. It's all new. But it surprisingly I don't think we missed loads like in posting because we record so far in advance. Like we record like loads at a time. So
there wasn't a major dip in content for you guys listening, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I think there was a little bit of an additional break that we wouldn't normally have, but it wasn't 5 months worth of no content.
No.
Go us. Proud.
Go us. Well, go you. You did all that. That's all you. Not us. You did all that. I don't want to take any credit for that work.
It takes two. We're a duo. It's a
we
package
are.
Deal.
It's yes, indeed. Indeed.
But,
and also, I've got my cool new mic now, so hopefully I'm sounding a bit better for folks.
Sounding beautiful.
Yeah, I think we have the same mic now, right? Do you have this one?
I don't know. Looking at yours, yours looks different. Hang on, let me see if I can show you mine.
Oh yeah, yours is. I know the one you've got, but yeah, I think it's a slightly different.
Same brand though.
Same brand. We're both Elgato people now.
Yeah. Owen has upgraded in his mic
gone
life.
Full Elgato. Yeah. This is Elgato.
I love it. But this is not a sponsored podcast.
Yeah. Gosh, I wish it was. It'd be nice if Elgato wanted to shoot us a little
Do with a new like boom arm. And I've been wanting the Elgato one for ages, but I can't justify spending on it at the moment. So if they want to sponsor us, then you'll buy one. But we've come back.
Yes.
On a really good episode, I think.
And we refreshed the previous episode, so it was like fresh in our minds. We knew what was going on.
Yeah.
We met like especially early to watch that. So we knew what we were dealing with.
We did. Shall I read out the little one line that sums up this entire episode and definitely doesn't miss anything out?
Absolutely. Do our job for us, basically. Please, guys who make these lines.
Okay, here we go. Clark and Bellamy make a startling discovery about One Crew's battle plans as Echo risks her friendship with Raven to complete her mission.
Yeah. Sums it up perfectly.
Do you know what? Surprisingly, it sort of does. I mean, there's like little bits missing. But, I mean, the main crux of the episode is in there.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. That sums it up more or less pretty well. So we don't need to like give you guys a major play-by-play of what happened, but it was definitely like there was no real action in this episode. There was no like is this person gonna die or like is this gonna go, you know, like it's gonna go crazy. What is going on? Sorry, my light went really weird then. If you noticed that it went all like yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw it turn back.
Yeah, it's weird. But it was a build-up episode, right? Would you say kind of?
Yeah, I feel like there was. It's leading up to the big battle, isn't it? Like this sort of
the start of a war. Basically.
Uncovered a lot of shit, I think, and there was a few hard-hitting lines where we were both like, "Oh, can't believe they said that." Like, we opened with a hard hitter.
Massive with Abby and her, like, drug problem, basically, and Kane dealing with their relationship kind of now going forward, because Kane wants to have something there, but not with her if she's basically high on pills half the time, which I kind of don't feel any, like, I don't feel like Kane's asking for too much there, because you probably wouldn't want to be with someone who's kind of pain. I get why she's doing it, because she's trying to do it to, like, keep herself stable.
Yeah. But... So, tiny bit of context. So, it's the whole episode started with Kane walking into, I guess, where Abby's doctoring at the moment. And I can't remember her name, but one of the defectors who got shot in the arm in the last episode was just, like, sprawled out dead on the table with, like, the surgery scissors, like, still in her, basically, and Abby couldn't save her, and she didn't even close her up, and she was high on her painkillers, and Kane was basically like, did this happen before or after you took these drugs? And she was like, I tried my best. And he's like, it's not good enough. And I sort of disagree. It's so hard. I feel like in real life, this is such a shitty situation, because it's an addiction. Like, it's an illness she has. She's addicted to these things. And I understand he's going in with a tough love, because sometimes you have to. But I also feel like by the end of the episode, he was saying, you got to choose. And I think that is the worst possible thing you can do to say to anyone that is addicted to anything, is it's this or this. Because as someone, I've had someone say that to me before. And
not to do with pills, I'm sure. But not to do with pills. In a different sense,
And all it did to me was it made me feel like, okay, that's fine. I just won't confide in you anymore. I won't tell you about it, and I'll carry on doing what I'm doing. And keep it to myself.
Yeah.
I'll keep just it hide secret. It. Yeah. Do it, that's do it all the, it's yeah, doing. Do it.
Yeah. Because you still want to have both those things.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a way that you can do that, your brain is just going to be like, well, let's do that.
Yeah.
So then I just can still have my pie and, you know, still drink my milk or whatever, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I agreed with his treatment of her, like, at the beginning, like the tough love thing. I think that sometimes can work, but like you saying, I think the end point of him getting to that, like, it's me or the pills thing, I thought that was a bit like, yeah, that's too much, man. Like, you're not really treating this with enough, like, respect or, like, nuance that you really should be treating this with, because it's a delicate situation, and it's like, you're dealing with someone like with like a crippling, like, you know, altering, like, addiction that is going to, like, really fuck with them. And you're, like you said, you're just giving them this really tough ultimatum that's just going to not help the situation. And I agree with you there. Like, I think his tough love of it, I'm fine. I think that was okay. Like, and he even apologized. Like, he said, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you know. But then she said, like, well, do you now believe me? I tried everything. And then he was like, well, yeah, I guess. Like, you know.
But this is the thing, isn't it? It's like, she even said, like, she was shot. Like, I didn't kill her. She was shot. She had internal injuries. And she made a good point. If she was to just stop taking those pills and go cold turkey, she would be having really bad withdrawal symptoms.
She'd probably have shaky hands and...
Exactly. So she
sweaty palms.
Would have been the same outcome either way. Yeah. I think she would have died anyway, even if she wasn't on the pills and didn't have this addiction. I think that girl's injuries, she just didn't do a clean job with it. Like, she left her all open and it was just messy. And I think it would have been the same outcome. So I think he was right for being tough with her, but I think he was wrong in what he was saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I also felt like the way he was with Dioza as well about the whole thing. I was like, oh, mate, what are you doing? Because Dioza and him have a conversation about it. And like, Dioza's essentially like her dealer. Like, Dioza is like fueling this pill addiction.
Yeah.
To keep her rolling, keep her moving, keep her trucking on with the treatments. And like, you know, obviously Kane's taking a problem with that, and he's like, well, you know, stop giving her the pills. And she's like, no, like, you know, this is my doctor and I need her to be functioning, and I don't need a cold turkey, like, pill addict, you know,
pill addict
doing my guy's, you know, surgery and like treatments and shit. And then he starts, you know, trying to be like kind of, I don't know what the sassy word is, like sassy with her, about her being having the illness. And like, well, you know,
are you ill? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and trying to be like, and then she just kind of snaps back with something just as clever. I can't remember what it was, but she won the argument.
Yeah, wasn't he like, oh, why are you ill when you don't trust her? And she was like, why would I trust her? She's a drug addict.
Yeah, yeah. And like, then she's like, she goes like too soon or something. Or like, it's like, oh, she's just so, she's
brilliant.
So unapologetically like fucking like just unforgiving,
mm-hmm.
and just in her own, she's just like, yeah, she's just got her own thing and she doesn't care how she goes about doing it.
She definitely has her own thing.
She does.
As we found out.
I don't know if we want to leave that for later or if we want to jump right into it.
No, let's jump into it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess the accumulation of this storyline that we get with like Dioza and Abby and Kane ultimately comes to a point where Dioza reveals she's pregnant. She's preggo.
She's preggers.
Yeah.
And she's
preggers, yeah.
Fact of the episode, the actress who plays Dioza is actually pregnant.
At that time, yeah. Wow. Crazy. Yep.
She found out she was pregnant the day before she started filming.
Wow. So they must have worked that into the story?
I think that was probably part of it. You'll see why I think it was part of it.
Right.
When more
right.
comes
so it
out.
Just kind of weirdly worked out that she just became pregnant as they filmed the show.
Well, it was just a happy coincidence that both were pregnant, her and her character were pregnant, I think.
Okay.
But
it looks like she's quite far along in the show as well when they show it, because her belly's like showing it, like, you know.
So that begs the question, was she pregnant before she was frozen? Because they've not been around, they've not been awake long enough for her to be that pregnant. So she's been pregnant for over 100 years.
That's crazy. What does that do to a child? Is the child just growing up in there? Like, what's going on? It's crazy. Yeah.
Who's the daddy?
Who's the dad as well? Yeah, Christ, yeah.
Who do you think we know the dad? Do you think the dad is one of the prisoners or Shaw or?
I think it's like, I don't think the dad's around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's Shaw. I think it's like more to do with her like backstory. Like I think it's something to do with her pre-life sort of thing. Like she had a guy that, or you know, a girl and, or, I don't know, and they...
That's not how babies work.
No, I know, but you can be artificially inseminated and still be with the girl. I'm just trying to, I don't know.
To be inclusive.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't know how it all goes down.
I mean, you're right.
Maybe ladies can do that in the future. I don't know.
Like seahorses.
Yeah.
Was it seahorses or jellyfish?
No, seahorses is when the guy can get pregnant.
Jellyfish, I think there was something recently that they tried to have two female jellyfish mate or something like that.
And it worked.
I can't remember. There was something about lesbian jellyfish having babies or something. I don't know.
I like that. I'm going to get a jellyfish now.
Remember sea monkeys? Did you ever have sea monkeys?
Oh yeah, I remember those. Yeah,
from Toys R Us.
Yeah, those were crazy. Did you ever want to have one of those like weird little worms that like float around?
No, that's weird.
You didn't have one of those?
No.
Do you know the thing I mean?
No.
They were like these like little like colourful like furry worms. They weren't like worms, but they were like furry. And you'd put them between your fingers and they'd
Not real life, though.
No, not real life. And there'd be like a little fishing string line on their end and you'd pull it and it looks like they're moving, but they're not.
Yeah. But sea monkeys were real.
Yeah, no, they were real, yeah. I'm just kind of joining in on the childhood, like, toy fun time.
I feel like you're coming up with a nice segue into the worms. Is what I feel like you're
and
doing.
And that's also what I'm doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Because that's
totally
a thing that happened in this episode.
Yes. But before we do, what do you think about the pregnancy?
I know about the pregnancy.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's what I'm asking. I don't know. Can you just play devil's advocate and just like pretend like you don't know?
but then I'd be giving it away.
Just, you know, make an incorrect guess and then I won't know.
It's Kane's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Kate might be jumping on the Oza train. And
she's having the world's fastest pregnancy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's crazy, why they're friends, because they're bumping uglies.
Yeah. Well, maybe like a side effect of being frozen is you produce your babies faster. I don't know.
Yeah. Speeds everything up.
Speeds everything up. Anyway, but yes, worms.
Being frozen does not speed up the worms.
No.
Being cold slows them down.
Slows them down, yeah. So I was confused because the plan that they had, right, is like they're going to put someone on the ship with the worms in them, right?
That the plan is that they're putting these worms in people that are alive, but trying to figure out a way to slow it down so it doesn't kill them, to then the next time there's a defection, where defectors go and join the prisoners, they're just going to send a bunch of them in there that have worms, and then it will just kill everyone.
That's what I thought,
including the people that have the worms in them. And all of their friends. So Raven, Echo. Who else is there? Abby, Kane,
all of them, yeah.
Yeah.
About to get a lot of death right here, yeah.
Yeah. Biological warfare.
I made a big call out, and there was a point where, like, you know, Monty and Clark find out about it, and they tell Bellamy, and then Bellamy goes, like, oh, we need to figure out what to do, and they're like having a little schoolyard like lunchtime like moment, and it felt like a bit of a, like, I don't know, like a weird high school moment where they go over and to the table.
Even the acting was like, it had that sort of like teen comedy feel to it, because like when Bellamy got up and went over to Indra, and then Monty was like, oh, blah 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 blah, he like was there when he killed all their people, blah blah blah, and Clark like done this like comedy actor face and was like, yeah, I'll go with him. Yeah. And it was like that whole moment just felt like a rom-com or like one of those cheesy comedy films.
Yeah. And then like when like Indra's got all her friends around her and she's like, leave. And they just like get up and go. And
it was
like,
so Mean Girls. It was like Plastics.
Yeah, seriously. It was like something out of Mean Girls. It was like we were watching Mean Girls. And then, yeah, they tell Indra, and then Indra doesn't know. Mm. And then I was like, oh, I 100% bet that, you know, this isn't some big secret. It's just Indra doesn't know, you know, because Cooper, as we're calling her, Pooper, is the one that we see go down there and into this like secret room where they have all the worms and the bodies. And we think it's like a secret thing that Cooper's doing. But it's not.
It's not, no.
It's not, because Octavia knows all about it. And she's like, yeah, I know.
She's an evil bitch.
She didn't know about the life testing though, right?
No, she didn't know that, but she played it off as if she did, because obviously Pooper's her second, I guess, technically now.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is fucking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the people, like, what did Pooper do in the dark year that made Octavia forgive her for what she did when they took the bunker?
And you've got Indra, like, head of your army or whatever, and she's not your second. Like, she's not your, like, number two. And she's the one who, like, trained you and, like,
you were her second at one point.
It's like, what's going on here? What are you doing? But, yeah, this plan is crazy. I did not love the CGI worms coming out of the mouth and the bodies and the stomachs and shit. I was hoping we were done with that.
Nah, we are, unfortunately,
we're far
not
from it.
Yeah. There is another interesting fact of the episode about this storyline. It wasn't in the episode, but in the original script for this episode, it's revealed that Indra was the one that infected Murphy in season one. You know, when Murphy came back and he had that disease and they all got sick and were bleeding out their eyes?
Yeah.
It was Indra that infected Murphy.
Oh.
But it wasn't in the script. It was in the script for this episode, but wasn't actually included in the
Episode.
So she knows all about biological warfare, but I think it would have been smart to leave that in because it would have given another sort of line as to why Indra is against it, because she's used it before and she's progressed. She has her character has developed from that.
Yeah.
But I guess it could also be a reason as why isn't she agreeing with it, because she's used that tactic before.
Yeah. I liked that they brought back that moment as well with Octavia mentioning what Clark had done to that guy and the radiation and stuff. And,
oh, yeah. And
throwing that in her face, like, oh, shut the fuck up. You radiated a guy. Like, it was just...
Like, you're so innocent.
Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with what she's doing, but she kind of has a point, because she kind of throws, like, well, what have you done, Clark? And what have you done, Bellamy? It's like, well, yeah, they have killed a lot of people.
And she has thought it through, because they were like, you could, like, kill everyone, like, and then you're releasing this species that can kill everyone, so it's like, you're killing us all. And she was like, no, we've done the research, and the worms won't survive in that habitat once everyone's dead, so they'll just die, and then we'll go in. So they have thought about it, and we also got the name of the episode dropped in this part, which was, I guess, another hard-hitting line. When Bellamy questioned Octavia on what about all of our friends and family that are there and the people we love, they will die. And she just said they are acceptable losses.
Yeah.
Oof.
I mean, that is truly like you've gone past the line now. Like you're just knowingly killing like multiple friends and family. And it's like, then done. But
That's tough.
And it's like, and it's a fucking excruciating way to die. You're literally like, sensing them to like painful death, like nothing easy going, like it's a you're done type deal.
There's just a
rough
Are
those things like based in any real reality? Because I know that there's those like fucking things that like live in rivers and they like
what leeches
I don't know if they're leeches, but there's like isn't there like a thing that like goes into people that
there's like flesh eating bacteria.
Yeah,
I don't think it is as like what it is like.
Yeah, no, yeah, with yeah.
Creatures moving around you and coming out of you like that, but there is flesh eating bacteria that will like eat you from the inside out.
Yeah, because there's like tapeworms and shit as well, like the that shit. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But we also got with the whole Octavia thing, how dark she has gone, and even Harper says, "Your sister scares me."
Yeah, yeah.
Like they are scared of her now.
Yeah, like straight up.
She is terrifying.
She is. Yeah, she really feels evil in this episode. Like in the previous episode, she's kind of come at things in a somewhat of a like okay way, or like you could still make an argument she's not fully gone. But I think you can't really defend her in this episode too much, like for what she's saying and what she's doing. I mean, she's yelling at Indra and like kind of fighting with her, and you know that's not really what she should be doing because they're always kind of on the same page. And Indra's making more sense, you know, like Indra was pissed that she didn't know. Like she was left out. I mean, like, you know, Octavia's like, you're my army of the lead, like the army leader, like you figure it out then. And he's like, well, am I? Because you didn't tell me about this weapon you've been like growing.
Yeah.
You know, and that scene was like, I was fucking locked into that scene. I was like, whoa. Like they were, you know, and Indra leaves with this pretty burning, like one liner. Which
about
was like,
the dark.
Don't go far into the dark or something.
Yeah. It's something about losing yourself and stuff, which I think from the beginning we got that vibe from Indra that I think even in previous episodes, just you can tell by her facial expressions and stuff that Indra has not been on side with the decisions Octavia is making. I think her loyalty has had her staying on side with her, because she loves Octavia as if she's her own daughter. But even at the start of this episode, when they're questioning why Echo hasn't got the eye up yet or down, whatever way round it
Dar, is. I think,
And Indra is just like, your brother trusts her. I think we should. I think we should trust her.
Yeah.
And she's just having none of it.
She just doesn't listen to Indra anymore. Like, that's just the fact. She just... Indra is no longer like this mentor to her. It's more like she's just sort of beneath her. Like she treats her like it's not really, she's not really like an equal to her now.
It's very sad.
It's just, it's sad. It is. It's like this is not the same relationship that they once had, with Octavia looking up to Indra as a wise person to take heed of, you know, of their word.
I mean, she's just so unpredictable now.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
And, like, you've got Clark telling Maddie to be crap at fighting so that Octavia doesn't feel threatened.
And Gaia as well.
Like, because the last, they will just kill Maddie. They will kill her if they feel like she is a threat and wants to take command.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole, like, I guess Octavia plotline of this ends with Maddie doesn't listen to Clark and does show how good she is at fighting and gets basically recruited.
Yeah. And you know that Maddie's doing that just to show off to Octavia, because Maddie looks at Octavia like, you look like a Rene Rat.
It's true. Lovingly.
Yeah. Get you a girl or a guy that looks at you like Scobes looks at like Rene Rat. And you'll be happy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But it ends with basically Clark trying to, I guess, negotiate with Dioza and saying, like, we'll take Octavia out. Like, we have to. It's the only way.
Kind of crazy. Kind of a crazy point to get to after all that.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, are we doing that? Really? Like, that's going to be...
Do you think they will take her out?
I don't know. I don't think so. I can't see how that happens, because she's not only is Octavia, like, maybe in the top two and top three of the fighters of this show, like, realistically, like, you've probably got, like, her and Echo pretty close in the top two. And then, I don't know who would be, like, next to them, but...
Do you think the show could continue without Octavia?
No! Well, I can't see Octavia dying anytime soon. She seems such a pivotal, like, plot point in this show.
Even if, like, she's this... the bad guy, though, the bad guy always dies.
I'm saying, like, she could go, but not anytime soon. Like, not in the next, like, couple episodes. Like, there's way too much that needs to happen. I mean,
Like,
you know, I can't. Yeah, she's not dying, but
we're halfway through this season.
Yeah. She could feasibly die in this season, but not in the next couple episodes or anything. No.
Yeah, it's doing that thing again in this episode where it's building up to this big fight, but we're only halfway through the season, and it does a lot. It does that every time, and then I'm like, well, what happens? I can't remember what's going to happen.
Even by the end of this, it feels like we're not really building up to that war or that fight now. It feels like more we're building up to them taking over Octavia's, like, little bit of power and stopping her, like, from even doing the fight. So it's like, you're not even really sure if it's going to be a war now, because... Are they going to stop this? Are they going to do... Like, it felt really hard to know, like, what their plan was during this whole episode, because it kept changing, because it was like, we need to stop this experiment, and then that fails, and then they're like, we need to, like keep an eye on the eye going down, and then we're going to take a buggy and save everyone over in the grove. But then now they're not, and it's like, it changes around a lot. It's one episode, everything. Like, they're
they don't really know what they're doing, I don't think.
It felt a bit messy. It felt a bit like, what are we doing here, guys?
Having to sort of wing it as time goes.
Yeah.
There's too many people in different areas. Like, you've got Clark's going to be torn over Maddie, and then the people in the valley. And then you've got Bellamy, who's like, his sister is still his sister. Yeah. But then his girlfriend is in the valley. And then you've got poor Monty, who's torn over this suicide letter he finally got to read 6 years after Jasper died, and he now wants to try and stay and convince people that they can survive without the valley, and it's,
And we even got our girl Raven, who we haven't mentioned so far in this episode, and her somewhat smaller plot, which was... What do you think of that one?
What, with Echo?
Well, Echo,
Echo and Raven's story.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, because I love our girl Raven.
Yeah.
But I think Echo made the right decision.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So, long story short, Echo tried to get... Well, I guess Raven and Echo tried to get Shaw, the pilot, to do them a good'un and get them out of the church, because they've got their shock collars on, so that they can put the chip in and take the eye down, or put it up. whatever they were trying to do. And he basically refused. So in the end...
Why was he pissed off at Raven again?
Because... McCreary and the other two that went out looking for Murphy and Imori never came back. So now he's in... I think he was like a little bit in the doghouse. He's a little bit in trouble.
Right, yeah. Because, but why was that Raven's fault?
Because they were fucking around and tracking the... They turned off the...
Yeah. They helped collar. Them escape, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was a bit weird of him to kind of take out on her so much, because I'm like, well, that was your choice. Like, she didn't make you.
Yeah.
But, you could have just chosen not to do that.
Yeah. But he wouldn't help. So Echo took it upon herself to grass him up for doing what he did with Raven. Raven originally.
It wasn't really Raven's choice there, was it? I think it was
No. Raven Echo's. Didn't know. Yeah, Echo done it. Yeah. Raven didn't know it was happening until it was happening.
Yeah.
And basically, Dioza was like, okay, well, prove it. Like, so they had to get Raven to do all the coding to prove that it was sure that turned everything offline, not Raven. And while she was doing that, Echo managed to slip the USB into the computer and do what she needed to do.
Yeah.
And all it cost was Shaw being beaten up a little bit. He survived, so I think it's worth it. Yeah. And he wasn't a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah. Yeah.
To Raven.
I mean, we do find out his kind of, not his, well, yeah, we find out that he was the one who caused the riot on the prison ship in the first place, kind of disabling the...
We sort of knew that he had something to do with it anyway, because the fact that from the video that we had seen. But yeah, we found out more why he did what he did, which was interesting.
And I sort of agree, you know, because apparently, you know, they were just going to kill off all these prisoners and they didn't matter, and these workers and stuff. And it was like, it's kind of fucked up. So,
yeah, it was indeed.
Yeah.
But
it was nice seeing Raven again. I missed my you know,
her neck looks sore.
Yeah. We had all the girls in this one, basically. We had all the best girls in this episode.
We did. We even got Harper. A little bit of Harper. We did have all of them.
Yeah, we did. We just missed out Murphy and Imori.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get Imori.
Those are the only two we didn't really see. But they've got their hostage, and I don't really know what they're planning on doing there, but they've got their little... They've got that jerk guy. McCreary, yeah.
Yes.
Which I feel like they didn't make that big of a deal about in this episode. Like, they mentioned he's gone missing. Like, two of their guys have gone missing. And she's not, like, at any point, like, let's send out, like, a party of guys to go look for him. Or, like, let's start doing search parties or figure out... Like, it was a bit weird that they kind of just dropped that. But they mentioned it. So they know it's happened. But they're not, like, doing... at least as far as we've seen, they're not doing anything about it.
Which is weird because Dioza has been so, like... adamant and persistent with Abby to get McCreary and all the sick people cured.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So she cares about them. So even though McCreary's an asshole and doesn't deserve it, she still cares about him.
Yeah, and she knows that like McCreary was tracking Murphy and like keeping an eye on him and stuff. So like she'd know that something must have happened with Murphy and stuff going on there. Like, so it's like, yeah, I think that might be one little gripe, or at least a little like. Unrealistic note of this episode, like she didn't show any kind of sympathy or care. Like, all it would have took was like a line above, like her, like, "Oh, I'm trying to like send out four guys to go look for McCreary." Like, I don't know. That's all I would have asked for. Just so it's like she's doing something
for real. Yeah. But they tend to do that in these episodes. They're like, they will leave one storyline off and it will come back in the next episode.
I
wonder if it's because if they had included that, they would have had every single storyline going on in this episode.
I was okay with them not having it in this episode.
It's just weird.
It's just weird that they'd ever really like make a deal of it like in their camp. Like, everyone just seems to be doing their thing. No one's like
going at least after mention them. It like
yeah
be like, oh, we're putting together a search party. in the meantime, yeah. And then next episode they send the search party out.
They
or send
the search party out, and it would have led into the next episode. Yeah, that would have made sense. Yeah, instead, I'm assuming we'll just see a search party looking for McCreary.
Or it'll just be Murphy shows up at the valley with McCreary with gun to his head or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Something crazy like that. Yeah, that sounds like Murphy's doing.
Very on brand for Murphy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
How do you feel about Echo's betrayal of Raven?
I mean, it sucks that she didn't really. She had to go over Raven's head to do that. But I think Raven was being a little too soft and needed to have it. Like Echo said, like in a war, we have to do shitty things. We have to, like, you know, fuck some people over that we might not want to fuck over. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, it's like Raven was willing to, like, get him to do that when they were talking about it and they saw him and they were like, oh, he could be a guy to do it. So, like, she was willing to put him at more risk to do it.
Yeah.
But then when it came to, like, actually, like, properly fuck him over, she was like, no. And I was like, well, where's the line here for you, Raven? Because like, you're still willing to put him at some risk. I mean, he still could have been caught. And totally done back at this point. And
do you think we're gonna see Raven maybe like argue and kick off about it next episode? Because he got chucked in the church with a shock collar on now. So he is one of them now.
Oh, there'll definitely be some drama from it, yeah, for sure. I don't know to what extent, but definitely be some fallout maybe between Raven and Echo from that.
But they've been building 6 years worth of friendship.
I know, but I think she's kind of, you know, I don't know, Raven does kind of hold grudges story.
They were so excited to see each other.
I know.
But they had to pretend they weren't. But
as most things in this show, they don't last very long.
We can't have anything good, can we?
No, all we can have is Bellamy, like, having sex with, like, every girl on the show. And
Clark having sex with every girl on the show.
basically. Yeah.
Apart from his sister, because that's
apart
weird.
From that, yeah, that's weird. Yeah, that's not what you want.
And Maddie, because she's a child. Maddie.
And that as well, yeah.
How are we feeling about Maddie? Because she's pissing me off.
She's pissing me off. She is pissing me off. She's not, she's just, she's it, consistently, not listening to Clark, not listening. And consistently pissing me off because she's just not doing anything she's ever told. She's getting kidnapped when she's off screen all the fucking time. And
she's a typical teenager.
She's just shit. And then she gives all this sass to Clark at the start when they're like looking after her. And she's like, here, take some water. She's like, I think you'll have water there, Clark. And it's like, well, just fucking take the water. You know, she's looking after you. Like, come on.
Yeah, she's a prick, isn't she? She's just
which is weird because she goes from like quite obedient, like not obedient, but like listening to Clark a lot and like taking Clark's word as like, you know, some sort of authority, but suddenly just kind of saying, well, I don't fucking care because I met this badass woman who kills people and she's really cool and fuck you, mum, she's cool now. And now I'm going to like treat her as my mum, like basically, and try and impress her. And like what you say is just bullshit. And I'm not even going to listen to Gaia with the shitty hair. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, she needs to stop wearing hats with that haircut because it's leaving. If I took my hat off now, there would be a dent from my hat. And that's exactly the hairstyle she had today.
Yeah. Maybe she's got that same hat you have, maybe. You know,
yeah,
maybe.
Must do.
Yeah. She's copying the Scourge style.
Yeah.
It's not for
don't blame her.
Yeah. You just have to take that with a pinch of salt. You're going to get the hat dent. If you copy the Scourge style.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I liked Gaia though, I mean, showing her the flame in that bit was a bit like, oh, she's going back to her old ways. And then the flame glowed and you were like, oh,
it's Lexa.
It's Lexa. It's like, oh God.
She's in there.
She's in there.
We don't get to see her, but she's there.
They're definitely teasing that storyline now of, you know, potentially the flame kind of going back into someone and
could only be Maddie.
I mean, it's totally going to be Maddie.
The only Nightblood.
Yeah, but
Clark don't count. She's not a real Nightblood.
But that could be interesting if we go back to that and see another chip inside a Nightblood and see how that goes.
Go back to our roots.
Yeah. I thought we were really done with all that stuff. Like, that was done. Like, yeah. That was in the past. But now we're, you know, Gaia is keeping that coal burning.
She is keeping the flame alive.
Well, yeah, she literally is. Yeah. Because even she said, like, oh, I gave up in my beliefs until I saw you. Like, that brought her all back. Because, you know, it's just like child of impossibility kind of coming back. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells her, like, do you hold back? And it doesn't work. Because Octavia says, fuck you. You need to fight. And fuck that little kid that beats
up. Oh, Ethan.
He's
just a douchebag, isn't he?
Fucking douchebag, yeah.
Why it's because Octavia brought him up. That's why.
Yeah, all the kids in these shows just suck.
They do. They actually do.
Literally. We have kids killing people and kids stabbing people and...
Well, you're still not over Wells, are you?
Look, it's a process, okay? I mean, at least another 6 months, and then maybe I'll be over it.
By the time we finish the show, you'll be okay.
I think in the last episode we record, I'll say to you, like, Scopes, I think I'm finally ready to move past Wells' death. I thought we were going to bring it up again, okay?
By then, you'll never want to talk about the 100 again.
After
season 7, you're never going to want to
be done.
After the season finale, you're never going to.
God. I feel like I'm going to be losing some blood vessels and popping some brain cells from that one.
I feel like, yeah, brain cells will be needed for season 6 and 7, they get very confusing. Off the top of my head, could not explain them to you.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there was a lot going on in this episode. It was sometimes a little hard to keep a track of everything. But it's nice to be back, though. It was a great episode to come back to. It wasn't too slow or anything. It was a good bit of drama and a good bit of character drama.
Yes. What are we rating it?
First rating back.
First rating of 2024.
A 4. No, I'm joking. That's not bad. It's going to be like... I'm going to go with like a 7.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it was like a bad episode, but nothing... like, other than, I think, Dioza being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
That was like maybe the main like jaw dropping, like, oh shit, like I did not see that coming.
I've been waiting for that reveal for so long.
Yeah, like that was really like, if you had a bingo card of stuff, I would never have put that on my bingo card, you know, like I would not have seen that shit.
Yeah.
Being a plot line in this season of her being pregnant. Not to say it's like a bad thing, I just didn't see it coming. But it's just a few inconsistencies and it felt a little bit messy here and there. And like, yeah, the fact that, you know, those people being lost didn't really come up was weird, and yeah, it was fine, but yeah, I just didn't, other than that bit, that reveal, it didn't massively blow me away.
Yeah, I get that.
I think because we've seen so much, it takes kind of a lot more now to me to like impress me for this show, kind of, because we've seen so much good shit, like your expectations become more like higher.
Oh god, the ratings for season 6 and 7 are so low.
Don't you agree though? Because it's like when you've seen some of the best stuff of what the show has to offer, you kind of have that expectation now.
Which,
like,
to me,
this is what they can do.
Seasons 3 and 5, I think, are the best seasons for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, anything after this is going down.
I agree as well. 3 and 5, but I think we both agree that like Dioza and Octavia kind of feel like really good bad guys.
Yeah.
Not that there's like black and white sort of bad guy, good guy in this show. It's just, but like they feel like villainous people.
Really, they have enough depth to them that you feel sorry for them in some way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you feel like Dioza commands the scenes when she's in them, and you feel like Octavia's like unpredictable and like crazy, and she could do fucking anything and kill anyone and plan any fucking plan she wants because she's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's cool.
That is very cool.
Your thing.
Just for the sake of Dan, 7.7.
I'm sure Dan's got to be keeping a track of that. I'm sure he's been...
I hope so. I need an update. Dan, for when you listen to this, we need an update on our scores, please. Yeah, our rating average.
Yeah, we need to know what we're thinking of this season so far on average.
please and thank you.
Please, thank you.
But the next episode is called How We Get to Peace.
Ah.
Ah.
Ah. So that's got to be like, well, that ultimately the people that want peace is like Clark's crew, you know. So
Clark
that's
crew.
Got the Clark crew, you know, the Clark crew. Clark's crew probably they ultimately want to stop the war and just have peace. And I mean, Clark even says, like, what would it take to share the grove, you know? So like, she wants there just to be like a dividing sort of sharing thing, which I guess. You certainly didn't seem to want to do that when they fucking landed there and you were sniping them.
Yeah. Her mind has changed.
When they came down on their fucking ship and you were like, oh, I don't trust these guys. I'm going to shoot them.
Yeah.
You know. This army of people with guns. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. It's just... anyway, sorry. yeah, so I guess it'll be, you know, Clark's crew trying to figure out a peaceful way to take out Octavia without killing her, which is
You say you're gonna take someone out,
yeah,
you gotta kill them. Like,
but there's no way Bellamy's gonna be on board with that. I mean, I know Bellamy doesn't really like Octavia right now, but...
well, yeah, because there was that line, wasn't there, when Octavia was like, everything will be fine when we get to the valley, and he said, yeah, we thought the same about coming back down to Earth and then we found you.
I've got to say, she was so nice. She turned into this like nice person for like a few seconds during that conversation when she's talking to Bellamy. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, sorry, I'm actually like, she even fucking apologizes to him, which I was like, whoa, you know, never thought she'd do that. And then he fucking says, fuck you, basically. And then her face just like fucking changes to like death and hate. And it's like, oh, she can just flick on the hatred face.
Yeah, just like that. That. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, okay.
Bellamy's idea of Octavia, I think, is dead to him now.
Yeah. I think there's going to be like a fight to the death between them two. They're going to actually fight and
one of them will survive.
One of those Blakes is going to live. I think it'll be Octavia, because we had that weird like jousty fight they had in not this episode but the last episode, and mm-hmm. Bellamy won that fight, and I think they're gonna maybe do like a reverse of that, but with like real stakes and real like.
Okay, or hear me out.
Yeah,
that fight foreshadowed the future fight, and Bellamy does top her and wins.
All that, yeah, possibly, yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. It's hard to know who would win because they were fighting with Octavia being like hurt in that episode, so she wasn't like full power. Mm-hmm. She was basically using like one arm, and she was like, "Nyeh." So,
yeah.
So yeah, but I don't know. I mean, like we said, we'll definitely see Murphy and Imori. Mm-hmm. I feel like that has to come up.
Yeah, they do. They leave it an episode and then they'll drag them back in.
Yeah, so that'll come up. So I guess they'll be trying to like make some sort of peaceful trade or deal to get like Raven back. Mm-hmm. And I guess now Echo.
Yeah.
I don't know. you know, former Crewery, obviously. Which I don't think is going to go well because they've already killed like four of their people. Whoever blew up in that cave. So I feel like they're not going to be too
negotiate-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, that's my predictions.
Yeah, so good predictions, I think.
Yeah. Good to be back talking about this show. We love this show.
It is great.
We enjoy it.
We've done it in good time. Proud of us. GGs.
Yep.
And now, do you remember your line? It's been 5 months.
And may we meet again?
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. I'm going to do mine.
Okay,
yeah. And then you do yours.
Yeah, okay. So I go first and then you... Oh, wait.
I go first and you go. But it has been good to be back.
Yes, it has. It's been too long. Yes.
It has.
We promise we won't wait 5 more months before recording the next one.
Pinky swear it. Pinky swear it.
Bonk.
But maybe life should be about more than just surviving.
And may we meet again.